I have a correction from last week's episode. I'm informed that security researcher Sammy Kamkar has researched hacking drones, but not using drones to hack. Now on with the show. From the studios of Wavefront Audio Visual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 106 of Little Brother for the 22nd of October, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com or leave a message on the blog at littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Parler, a social network established to allow folks to post messages without being held responsible for their content, has had difficulties being relevant for some time. Both Apple and Google removed the app from their respective app stores, and the service has had difficulty keeping hosting providers who are willing to host them. This week, Kanye West has expressed his intention to buy it, in demonstrating part of the problem that the right has, to wit, that they have a shortage of technical acumen. An email about the acquisition agreement was sent out to a group of VIP members, in which the sender put the emails into the CC field rather than the BCC field, resulting in the entire list of members being visible to everyone who received the email. That list is now in the hands of the press, who are diligently working to put real-world names to all of them. Essentially, they doxed all of their VIPs. Good job, guys. The Intercept is reporting that the city of Oakland, California, is discussing the idea of equipping police drones with lethal weapons. The back and forth between the police department and the police oversight body thankfully ended with the police department relenting for now. However, they have expressed an intent to continue to pursue this idea. Meta, the parent company of Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp, among others, is launching an ad campaign targeting users of Apple's iMessage platform. Amusingly, Meta's advertising is focused on the privacy features of WhatsApp, features which iMessage lacks, as do the default SMS-based messaging apps on Android, as I mentioned last week. While the end-to-end encryption claimed by Meta may be true, Meta has too much history of being invasive to be trusted. Nothing actually stops them from releasing a version of the app which will fully or selectively retransmit messages to insecure storage somewhere. As always, my recommendation, despite my griping last week, is Signal Private Messenger, as they lack a profit motive. Telegram may be another viable option for secure messaging, even though there are a few good reasons not to trust it either. However, a good reason to trust them is the battle going on in Germany right now. Apparently, the German government has fined Telegram 5.13 million euro, or approximately $5 million, for failing to comply with German law. What law in particular? Well, the law that requires that messaging platforms report illegal content. This is, of course, impossible with properly implemented end-to-end encryption. surprising nobody that works in IT, it seems as though moving things to the cloud hasn't been the big cost-saving measure that many companies would have believed that it would be. According to a report from cloud computing consultancy WANclouds, about 81% of IT leaders have told them to trim their cloud spending. Who knew that renting space on someone else's computers would cost more money in the long run than buying your own? Finally, The Verge is reporting that geneticists are doing something I would never have foreseen. It seems as though a number of genes are being renamed in various ways, but, you know, not for any scientific reason. No, these genes are being renamed because when entering their existing names into a spreadsheet, Microsoft Excel will helpfully convert the names into dates or numbers or other data types that aren't text strings. Although the mechanisms exist in Excel and other spreadsheet software to override this behavior, accessing that is apparently not common knowledge and certainly not something that can be set up as an altered default behavior. No, it was literally easier to rename genes than to get the software to behave within their existing names. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. We've got two this week. In the commercial department, we have Microsoft. In a pair of disclosures, one published by Microsoft and one by security firm SOC Radar, it was revealed that Microsoft has leaked about 2.4 terabytes of data affecting about 65,000 companies in 111 different countries over a five-year period. Those are SOC Radar's numbers, which Microsoft disputes as exaggerations. Data includes names, email addresses, company names and phone numbers, and many attached files concerning wholesale commerce, and including statements of work, contracts, and proofs of execution. Everything you need if you're the competitor. Microsoft state that they have secured their servers as soon as they were notified of the breach. The other pwn this week pertains to the war in Ukraine. A Russia-based anti-Putin activist group, the National Republic Army, have come into possession of a large trove of data critical to Russia's national security. Note I say critical to it, not critical of it. And they have published it. Reaching the server can be something of a trick. The trove is being made available via rsync, running on a Tor hidden service, so you will need some moderate level skills to acquire a copy, and the ability to read Russian to make use of it, but still, that is a big hole blown in Russia's national security. I am so freaking tired of all of the surveillance. What I've said before about this still stands true, that there generally isn't any nefarious intent, that they just want to sell us things, but come on, enough already, right? I mention this because not one, not two, but five stories have crossed my desk this past week regarding it. Let me just give you a one-liner on each one of them here. We'll start with the bad news. Ride-sharing service Uber has decided that you need more advertising in your life, and has announced plans to use the data that they've collected about you and are collecting in real time about you to make sure that every stage of your trip with them is accompanied by advertisements. Isn't that fun? It's not just public-facing services that are invading your space, though. I mentioned last week about a remote worker who had been ordered to work with his webcam watching him, but now we also have some companies going so far as to use AI to track your eye movements while you work with your webcam watching you. Seriously, your work should speak for itself. If that's not good enough, then your workplace is toxic and you need to find a way to get out. But there is good news in the form of a handful of lawsuits. In Gonzalez versus Google, a case brought by the family member of the victim of an ISIS shooting, the plaintiff is claiming that Google's content promotion algorithms kept feeding the shooter more and more radicalizing content, targeting the shooter with more content like what he'd been watching up to that point, which in turn led him to act. Meanwhile, the state of Texas is also suing Google for collecting the biometric data of millions of Texans without first obtaining their consent in violation of a Texas law. Maybe Texas can do something right, huh? Texas isn't alone, though. Apparently, across the country, there are multiple lawsuits levied against multiple websites, all claiming that the use of cookies and other tracking devices is in violation of the various states' wiretapping laws. Which seems, at first, like a novel approach, but it might actually work, because starting with Pennsylvania, the Third Circuit courts have weighed in that these lawsuits can go forward after the defendants filed for dismissals. Good stuff, huh? As I say, I'm sick and tired of being watched, listened to, followed, tracked, and so on, in the pursuit of somebody else's profit. Leadership from Washington is lacking, and unlikely to be much use of us for the foreseeable future, but maybe, just maybe, with the help of the various states, we can get to a better place. Maybe it's time to call your state legislators and ask them what they are doing about it. I have a message from a listener who wrote in to say this. In the show, you mentioned, what about if the pineapple yada yada yada, non-ethical yada yada? Hold on, let me get a clip from last week put in here. But what if it gets in the hands of someone who isn't an auditor? What if it gets into the hands of one of the threat actors that particular paragraph from TechTarget.com is talking about? They only cost about $120, and literally just anyone can buy one. Okay, he continues. Well, Hack 5 were asked before, and they answered, they cooperate always with law enforcement, sharing info. Just take a look at their privacy page. All right, I see your point. I did say just anyone can buy it. I think that remains true, but your point is well taken that the purchase isn't necessarily a secret. Of course, the thing that does need to be kept in mind is that rules and policies and what they say isn't always what is being done. Policies can be ignored, subverted, sidestepped, you get the idea. Social engineering, pseudonyms, etc. could put this device or something similar safely into the hands of folks that theoretically shouldn't have it and don't have good intentions. As my grandfather was very fond of saying, locks are there to keep honest people honest, and I believe you could say the same thing about agreements and contracts. Now, I mention the pineapple specifically because it's the one that everybody knows about, but nothing stops another maker other than Hack 5 from making something functionally similar. However, the device that was strapped to the drone found on the top of the financial company's building was in fact a Wi-Fi pineapple, possibly modified in some way. Whether or not a bust is in the future for its owner is a separate matter. Anyway, I've gone off the rails here. The note from the listener continues. He says, the Eachine EX4 Pro drone runs a custom OpenWRT. After some reverse engineering and cross-compilation of tools, you can get a real custom hacking drone. Okay, that's cool. Considering the source, I'm actually inclined to believe this information is accurate. The idea of having a modified OS on a drone is really kind of interesting. Unlike a drone carrying a pineapple, this wouldn't look any different than a stock drone. Thank you for the note. Journalist Daniel Johnson writes in Slate about an ordeal he's been going through trying to retake control of his data. Let me summarize it for you. According to Johnson's telling of the story, he found out one day that Instagram had simply disabled his account. So what, I hear you asking. That would be my response. In fact, that was my response when Microsoft disabled one of my Outlook accounts. Wasn't critical, and I really didn't care. Johnson, and indeed all of us, should be in that same state with respect to our social media accounts. Johnson describes the Kafkaesque process that he was put through to try to get his account reactivated, or at least to get the data out of it. At different times, he'd been requested to send a scan of his driver's license, which he did, a selfie with a code written on a page included in the picture, and of course, the ultimate insult of being told that he needs to log into his account, which is disabled, to get his data back, and that they can't help him if he doesn't. Seriously, what a load of horseshit. But here's the question I want to know. Why did Instagram have the only copy of his data? Do any of your social media accounts have the only copy of data that you care about? Pictures? Videos? Stories you've written or told? Mine don't. So my OPSEC tip this week is this. Get your damn data. You should have a copy of all of your data on media that you control. Last year, when I flounced from Facebook, one of the things I did just before I left was I stepped through their process for retrieving all of my data. I have it stashed away in several different places in case I should ever want it. You should do the same thing with all of your social media accounts now while things are good and you can log into them and nothing has gone wrong. When creating content that you are going to upload to social media, keep a copy of it. Don't just send it up. If it went straight to the cloud because it's live streamed, download it at the first opportunity you get. It's up to you to take ownership of your data and not to just give it away to social media companies. Download it to your devices and back up your devices. Do this, and you too can say, so what, when one of your accounts gets disabled. As usual, we'll end this week's show with the fail of the week. The fail this week goes to the FDNY for a failure of data center design. It seems as though an outside contractor was working on the FDNY's Metro Tech Center in Brooklyn when they inadvertently pressed the emergency power off button for the data center instead of the door open button that was located next to it. Now, some will claim that by blaming the FDNY that I'm blaming the victim here. But I would point out that this was an accident waiting to happen and therefore a self-inflicted wound. It is granted that the data center is a space intended for the machines more than for the humans that tend to them, but even so, there are several things that could have been done to improve the data center design to prevent this error. The emergency power off button could have a delay on it, so you have to hold it down for a few seconds before it activates. The emergency power off button could have a Molly Guard on it. For those not familiar with the term, this is a cover that has to be opened before you can operate the switch. It's allegedly named for the toddler daughter of an IBM technician. The emergency power off button could have been behind a glass that you would have to break in order to activate the button. Or most importantly, the emergency power off button could be someplace else, someplace away from the door open button. Now, I have no idea how many times this particular data center design snafu has occurred over the years that we've been building data centers, but I do know for a fact that one of the universities I attended had made this very same mistake because the chief sysadmin had told me himself that this was the reason the data centers were down one night and that he is the one that walked through and pushed the wrong button. But even when designing spaces not intended for frequent human habitation, it is important to track the human factors and design the spaces to prevent mistakes because, well, we are only human. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fungaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Knight Rider 007, David, Free Scholar Family Tree, Snackness, Joe Cadillac, Julie Bernstein, and Fungaboo for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwned music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker. And our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. Features which iMessage lacks, as do the default SMS Features which iMessage lacks, as do the default SMS affecting about 65,000 companies in 111 different countries, that these lawsuits can go forward after the device that was strapped to the drone found on the However, the device that was strapped to the drone found on the top of the financial company's building was in fact a Wi-Fi pineapple. There are several things that could have been done to improve the data center design to prevent